Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Rameau. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man, other than watching the Met game, but we'll dive into that a little later. So I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to, you know, this episode of Sports Urban Legend. We're going to be talking about the NBA draft, especially how it pertains to the Knicks. We're also going to talk about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view event that just happened last Sunday night. Like I said, the aforementioned Mets, Yankees, you know, the Rangers with the draft. And, you know, we'll see what else we'll talk about. But, you know, again, you know, I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. But, you know, without further ado, let's talk about the NBA draft. And, of course, you know, that the Knicks drafted Kevin Knox. You know, he was a forward from Kentucky. And, you know, it's a controversial pick because, you know, Michael Porter Jr., who arguably was the best player available, but of course, you know, he's injury prone, you know, at such a young age. And then, of course, you had also Mikal Bridges, who Knicks was hugely rumored to draft as well. Until the last, I say about Wednesday night, prior to the draft night on Thursday, the rumor of Kevin Knox coming to the Knicks, getting drafted by the Knicks, was heating up. So, all in all, you know, the Knicks, you know, they made a good move. You know, unfortunately, they had the ninth pick, so they couldn't get Ayton from from Arizona. The Suns got him. Trey Young, the guy Trey Young or Mo Bamba are the two guys I really would have wanted the Knicks to have been able to acquire. In a perfect world, I wish Knicks would have had draft picks to draft both of them. But they weren't able to. It. The ninth pick, you have to really hit a home run. You got to have great scouting in order to get somebody, you know, that, you know, high in the, you know, in the top 10, or should I say that low, depending on which way you want to look at it, because what the losing the Knicks have been doing, you know, with the exception of 2013, when they had Jason Kidd, Tyson Chandler, you know, they had a team reminiscent of the old school Knicks, you know, a gritty, talented team with veterans, you know, to go along with, you know, Melo, of course. But other than that, since 2001, the Knicks have been dreadful. You know, they've had probably like four playoff berths throughout that time period, and they hardly did anything near that 20-year span. So, you know, with this draft pick, you know, along with Mitchell Robinson, you know, a guy which was an extremely controversial pick because this guy didn't play college at all. You know, he only played high school, and he missed the entire year because he was going to play in college, but he dropped out before he even played. And, you know, he was great at, a McDonald All-American, event, you know, like a year ago or so, but, you know, he didn't play any professional ball this year. All he did was, well, worked out, which is unheard of because normally a player plays in college for 1 year minimum, or they go overseas, you know, or even in the G League, which most likely that's where he's heading, you know, because he hasn't played. He has a lot of potential, but, you know, he hasn't played. So I think, you know, with that potential and, you know, you got Porzingis who, you know, unfortunately he's going to miss. We don't know when he's coming back. He's going to miss at the very minimum the All-Star game next year. And then you have, you know, you have Ntilikina who should be getting a starting spot if he earns it, because unlike Hornacek this past season, he's not afraid to give the young guys the reins to prove that they can play in this league. So with those guys, you know, having the opportunity to perform, the future could be bright for the Knicks, but it's going to take a long time, and they got to hit home runs after home runs in order to get this thing turned around. What do you think about the picks, Matt?
I like the pick for Kevin Knox. I mean, he, you know, he's a player from the Kentucky program, and historically, if you look at Kentucky, usually good players come from that school. I mean, you've had guys like Eric Bledsoe, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Karl Towns, Rajon Rondo, Brandon Knight. You've had a lot of good players historically come out of that school. So, you know, and Knox had a good year last year. He averaged about 15 and a half points, you know, for that program, played very well for them. I mean, you know, he was there for 1 year, but, you know, if history holds up, he should be a good NBA player. And most likely he's going to be starting for the Knicks when the season opens. But I think it's a good safe pick. I mean, with Michael Porter Jr., it looks like he's probably going to miss the entire year next year, it's looking like. So I think the Knicks made a good pick and a safe pick also. I mean, Bridges sounds like the better player than Knox, but, you know, we'll have to see. We'll have to see if that's the case. But I think it was a good safe pick for the Knicks. I don't I wasn't mad at it when they made it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you know, me personally, I probably would have drafted Mikal Brooks unless if I would have scouted extensively that Kevin Knox is the better player over, you know, over time, which I think he could be. Potentially he could be because he's 18 years old. You know, he could he has a 7-foot wingspan already. I think he's 6'9". And, you know, he's 18, so theoretically he has a few more years to grow to potentially be a 7-footer. So,
yeah.
You know, not to mention he has that work ethic. You know, he has the same work ethic as Porzingis. You know, he's taking it all in stride. You know, he wants, just like Porzingis, they want to prove the Knicks fans wrong in a positive way, not in a combative way. They're going to just, you know, have that blue-collar mentality to try to turn this thing around. And that's the type of Knick player you want on your team. Or any, if you're running an NBA team, you want a player like that on your team. You want a guy who wants to turn a rebuilding season into, you know, a potential championship-caliber team somewhere down the line. You know, that's the type of players you want. You know,
yeah, definitely. I think he has that. You know, he is a young guy. He does have potential. You know, and again, he's from Kentucky. You know, Kentucky produces, you know, very good NBA players. So he could be another one.
And fried chicken as well.
But yeah.
Calipari, man, he always has something cooking down in, you know, with the Wildcats down there. You know, so
yeah,
you know. I think it's a good pick. Like I said, you know, there was other players I was had my eyes on, but Kevin Knox, you know, he has that potential. So I'm not, like you said, I'm not mad at that pick either. I mean, unless if you know for sure that, you know, that the Knicks got a scrubby player, just stop booing, man, at Madison Square Garden, or in this case, Barclays Center. You're just making a fool of yourself, man. Don't make your kid dress up in a Knicks uniform, and don't dress up in a Knicks uniform and boo, because I think just like the Porzingis thing, you know, we're going to have, hopefully, God willing, we're going to have egg on our face, the fans who were booing. I mean, I wasn't booing, but the fans who were booing, man, I hope Kevin Knox will prove the Knicks fans wrong, the ones who are booing, which I think he will. And, you know, hopefully that's what you want, you know. And I understand, you know, you want to get Michael Porter Jr. I get that. You know, he's a potential, when healthy, he's a potential top pick, you know, he has a potential to be a top pick. But, you know, compared to, you know, the way how he's injury prone, man, he makes Marcus Camby, Antonio McDice, you know, look like LeBron James health wise, man.
Yeah.
So we gotta be careful here. You know, we don't need an injury prone guy, a young injury prone guy. That's a red flag there, and especially with the Knicks, a team that needs as many able bodies with potential to be on this team. I mean, that's a huge mistake Hornacek made last year, starting Jared Jack. All those times, even when we were mathematically out of it, he was still starting Jared Jack, which was literally a waste of time. He really ruined the growth of Ntilikina. I mean, don't get me wrong, Ntilikina didn't. I mean, maybe he had two games like where he actually lived up to his potential. Like there was one game he scored 15 points, which, I mean, all honesty, this is what Ntilikina should be, you know, averaging around, you know, as a you know, potential starter. You know, he should be like a close to walking double double, at least 8 assists a game. I mean, that's what I'm counting on him to do this year. You know what I'm saying? So I hope he can, you know, he can gel with Knox and Porzingis whenever he comes back. And if Cantor opts in, which I assume he will, because he's not gonna walk away from like $18 million. He ain't gonna see that money. Probably not even in 2 or 3 years if he signs a contract. So, I think he's definitely gonna opt in. And if he does opt in, you know, that basically ruins any chances of LeBron James coming here, which that was a 1% chance at best of him coming here. Oh yeah, by the way, as you know, Kylo Quinn, you know, he opted out. So, you know, he looks like he's gonna try to go to the Warriors. So, you know, in a perfect world, as much as, you know, I love Cantor and O'Quinn on the team, you know, unless if they're gonna sign at the league minimum, you know, it is better for them to leave and open up a spot for potentially, you know, a star player to come here. But I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I mean, Quinn, he reminds me of, you know, old school type player from the 90s, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, plays, has that physical mentality, tough-minded. But, yeah, I mean, he's better off going to a winner, you know, and helping them out instead of staying with the shitty team right now.
Well, I mean, there's rumors that he's going to go to Golden State. So I definitely see that happening. I mean, in a perfect world, Kylo Quinn would be a Knick for life. I mean, he's that throwback Knick player, you know, from the 90s. He would fit in well with that team. You know, a colorful guy who bled orange and blue since he left. There's a 99% chance since he opted out, he ain't coming back here, which you can't blame him, you know, but how the team is going. You wish you could have had a better team that he could have been a part of the turnaround, but, you know, you gotta do what's right for him. You know, you gotta try to chase the ring. And speaking of a guy who's chasing the ring, the Nets made a shocking trade to acquire Dwight Howard, which this would have been his 7th team. However, the day after they acquire him, they're working out a buyout with him. So, you know, Dwight Howard is going to be a free agent, and, you know, he's rumored to go to Boston or Golden State. I mean, I definitely don't see him come to the Knicks for sure. But what do you think about that whole situation with Dwight Howard?
I mean, I'm not surprised. You know, Dwight Howard, you know, he wants to go the winner at this point in his career. You know, he's not going to go to a team that's rebuilding right now. So, you know, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that wants to go to a contender that's ready to win the championship. I could see him in Golden State.
Oh, yeah,
possibly.
Definitely.
You know, or Boston.
Yeah, They got on, what's his name? Yeah, those are the two teams that he's mostly rumored to go to, and I definitely see him going there, especially Golden State. You know, he could be have the JaVale McGee role, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
I could, I definitely see it, you know? So, yeah, I could definitely see him signing with Golden State. Once Durant came, you know, now I could see anybody going there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a hot spot now. Yeah.
And with Durant going there, shoot, if they have some way to work it out, I wouldn't even be surprised if LeBron going, since, you know, he just wants the easier way to win the title. So I wouldn't be surprised if lineup wise, you know, and money wise, they could find a way to work that out. I wouldn't be surprised.
Nah, LeBron's not going to Golden State. That'd be too crazy.
Hey, Durant went there. Durant went there, so.
I mean, Durant went there, but, I mean, that wasn't much of a surprise. But if LeBron goes there, I'd be more surprised by that because, you know, that's unnecessary when they have Durant, Curry, Thompson. And they're not going to have the money to sign
LeBron. I don't think
LeBron
so either.
So.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But the way how these players are now, a lot of these players are nowadays, They just want the easy way, man. They're not territorial like the players of yesteryear where, you know, like, you know, Isaiah Thomas didn't want to get traded to the Knicks, you know. He didn't accept the trade because he saw the Knicks as, you know, Patrick Ewing's team. You know, everybody, mm-hmm. Nowadays people have if I can't beat you, I'm going to join you mentality. Back in the old school NBA days, everybody was like, oh, you beat me? Okay, I'm going to prove to you that I'm the best. And next year, I'm going to whoop your behind, and I'm going to go to the finals or win the championship. You know, everybody had, like, that alpha male mentality. And the only time you've seen dream matches happen is if, you know, the team made a trade to acquire, a legendary player. You didn't really see the players have this much autonomy to, you know, form dream squads, you know, by themselves, for better or for worse. You know, yeah, it's a new era, you know, and it worked out for Durant and it definitely worked out for LeBron. So I think another dream team is going to happen again with LeBron. He's probably going to get his buddy Chris Paul and James Harden to sign together. And then, of course, there's always that rumor of Paul George following LeBron wherever he goes. So that's a super team we could keep our eye out for. Who knows? Maybe he might even go to Oklahoma and be with Westbrook, you know.
Yeah, there's endless possibilities right now.
Yeah, with LeBron James, you know, you're automatically a championship caliber team.
Yeah.
No matter what team you are. So we'll definitely keep an eye out on that. But let's shift. Oh, did we talk about the? I don't think we talked about the trade, Trae Young, trade with the Donick player.
Oh yeah, right.
What's your thoughts about that before I move on to the Money in the Bank?
Yeah, that was a bit surprising there, because Mavericks traded him to was it Atlanta?
Yes, Atlanta, correct.
Yeah, to Atlanta, yeah. So, I mean, that was a bit of a shock. Since, I mean, Dallas, they don't really have a point guard at the moment, so I thought Trae Young would have been a good fit for them, but, you know, I don't get the logic behind that. But I guess I don't know. I don't get that move, to be honest with you. That's kind of strange to me.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, I was surprised about that move, too. I didn't see it. I didn't see it happening either.
Yeah, and also the Mikal Bridges was kind of – that was weird also because the Sixers drafted him and then they – no, wait, actually, wait, did he get – he got traded also, right?
I think so. I think he did. I think he did get traded. I mean, I think he got drafted right
the
after –
Phoenix, right?
76. I think he got drafted to 76ers right after us.
Yeah, he got drafted, and then he got traded to Phoenix.
Yeah, to trade to the Phoenix, right.
And the thing is, his mom works for Sixers, which is weird because...
Yeah, I know.
I didn't get that whole... I don't get that whole... And Bridges is like why wouldn't Sixers want Bridges when Bridges was like the top, one of the top guys in the draft? And Sixers are, they're supposed to be one of the championship contenders next season. So Bridges would have helped them greatly, but instead of changing the Phoenix, I don't know why they did that. So
yeah, I don't know. I don't know why, but I was surprised about, you know, hearing about that as well. Because, I mean, he looked, other than the Knicks, he looked like he was made for 76ers, you know, a gritty inner city, you know, where the fans are passionate about sports. So, yeah, I'm surprised about that. So basically, Arizona got Ayton and Young.
Yeah.
They got some young ballers down there.
Oh, yeah.
To score. So, that's a team to keep an eye out for sure. So, yeah, man. So, I guess let me round out the top 10. Suns drafted Ayton. No surprise there. Kings got Bigley Jr. Luka Doncic was drafted by Hawks. Of course, he got traded to Mavericks. Grizzly with the 4th pick drafted Jaren Jackson Jr. 5th pick. Trae Young, of course, was drafted to Mavericks, but then traded to Atlanta. Oh, wait a minute. My bad. Wait a minute. I said Arizona with Atlanta.
Oh.
I think Suns had both of them. But my bad.
I think it's about Phoenix. Well, Phoenix is Arizona.
Right, that's I made a mistake. Ayton has I was correct. I did say Ayton is with Suns, but I think I accidentally said momentarily I forgot that he got drafted to Atlanta. He went to Atlanta instead of Phoenix. So I momentarily mentioned the wrong thing there. Quickly, apologize.
All right.
The sixth pick was Mohamed Bamba, a.k.a. Mo Bamba. He got drafted by Magic. Now, that's a beast right there. I wish the Knicks was rumored Wednesday night to make a trade to try to get the 4th pick from, I think it was the Grizzlies, in order to draft Mo Bamba. But that didn't go through, and they would have had to take in Parsons' contract, Albatross' contract. So that didn't go through. Let's see. The Bulls drafted Wendell Carter Jr. The 8th pick is Colin Sexton. Of course, you know, the 9th is Kevin Knox. And with the 10th pick, Mikael Brook was drafted by the 76ers, but then he was traded to Phoenix. Oh, wait, I did say that. I corrected myself. I said in my mind, I did say the right thing. So Brooks and Ayton are in Phoenix.
Yeah, you just said Arizona.
Yeah,
which
I was right.
Same thing.
But in my mind, when I was thinking, in my mind, I was like, maybe I accidentally said Trae Young, but I did say the right thing at first. So forget about my apology. But yeah, so yeah, this is one of the deepest drafts I've seen in a long time. So hopefully it'll work out for the Knicks.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, we shall see.
All right, so moving on to the Money in the Bank. You know, the Bludgeon Brothers defeated Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, as we both predicted last week. No surprise there. Daniel Bryan defeated Big Cass, and which was a surprise, even though Daniel Bryan's a future Hall of Famer. But, you know, Big Cass got fired, I think, on Tuesday. You know, before SmackDown, because of some off the field incidents, I think might have involved his ex girlfriend Carmella, you know, the current WWE SmackDown Women's Champion, and a segment where Big Cass beat up on a little person, portraying himself as Daniel Bryan, and he roughed him up. More than Vince McMahon and the producer backstage Kevin Dunn didn't want him to, you know, he went off script, and I think those are the two factors that led to him being fired. What's your thoughts on that quickly?
Yeah, that was a big, I mean, that was stupid, but, I mean, yeah, it was a shock. I didn't expect that to happen, you know, a few days after him fighting Daniel Bryan at Money in the Bank, so that was the kind of shock to me, but, you know, now he joins his buddy,
Enzo Amore,
you know, he's out of WWE at the moment, but who knows, with WWE, you never know, they'll probably bring him back.
Yeah, but apparently
they always need the big guys.
Yeah, that's true. You know, Vince does love promoting the big guys, but the problem is that he apparently Vince McMahon warned him in advance not to, you know, go overboard beating up the little person because, you know, WWE cares about their image a lot more than they did, let's say, in the Attitude Era or in the Ruthless Aggression Era where, you know, all things, you know, anything can go, you know, inside a WWE ring, you know.
Yeah, but there's also rumors that, you know, he had some social issues with, you know, people backstage as well.
Yeah.
You know, that could have been, you know, a big factor.
Yeah, and that's why he got beat up by Daniel Bryan quickly in that match. And another thing, yeah, and according to Enzo, him and Big Cass aren't cool anymore. So I don't know if they're going to team up together, you know, if both men can, you know, decide to continue their wrestling career. Because Enzo, he's a rapper. You know, he put out some rap music. You know, he's, you know, pursuing his rap career. So I don't know if he wants to go back, if they're going to team up in the future, in the independent circuit. But who knows? You never know.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley, no surprise there. He defeated Sami Zayn in quick order. But I don't know if you heard this, but Sami Zayn, he's injured. He's going to be gone for like a year.
Yep.
So.
Two rotator cuffs injured.
That's crazy right there. You know, hopefully he'll have a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
You know. And Bobby Lashley, he's starting a feud with Roman Reigns, where he actually got the best of Roman Reigns. So, you know, when they were in a tag team match, he actually did a spear on Monday Night Raw, you know, his former finishing move that he had along with the Dominator, two moves he hasn't done, you know, since he returned prior to Monday Night. Because, you know, all he does is, like, the suplex, you know, delayed suplex as his finisher. But it was good to see him bust out the spear.
Yeah, now there's a rivalry.
Yeah.
Ensuing between him and Roman Reigns.
Yeah, the winner is going to face Brock Lesnar. I would assume at SummerSlam, but they're gonna battle one-on-one at Extreme Rules to decide who's the number one contender between the two men. Hopefully Bobby will get it, you know. And we'll get that dream match of, Bobby Lashley finally fighting Brock Lesnar. I doubt it, but let's see what happens. The Woman Money in the Bank ladder match, Alexa won, which I was wrong about. You know, I thought Natalya was gonna win, and of course. We all know that, Alexa cashed in the Money in the Bank after Ronda Rousey defeated Nia Jax via disqualification because Alexa Bliss attacked Ronda Rousey with the briefcase and Alexa Bliss, you know, defeated Nia Jax, you know, by hitting her finishing moves, you know, on her. And, you know, after she cashed it in and, you know, she's the new champion, the new woman's champion. And then, of course, Monday Night Raw, Ronda Rousey was PO'd about what happened. So she attacked Alexa Bliss, you know, rightfully so. But then she shockingly attacked Kurt Angle, her former WrestleMania tag team partner, which was a shocking moment. And then she went bat crazy on the referees, which was extremely shocking. And, you know, as a result, you know, she got suspended for 30 days, which, you know, it's, you know, pretty understandable.
She lost her cool.
Yeah. So, you know, that way they finally, they got a way for her, you know, Ronda Rousey not to get her number one contender's ship, you know, right away. So, you know, so I just felt, I don't know. I felt like Nia Jax needed, if Alexa Bliss was going to beat her, I just felt there should have been a little bit more. I mean, I know she got her butt whooped by Ronda Rousey. She was going to lose. She was most likely going to lose to Ronda Rousey, you know. But I don't know. I just felt it needed a little bit more.
For it to be Alexa winning, you mean?
For Alexa Bliss to beat her. You know, I don't know. I just think Nia Jax has too much of a size advantage on her. I know Ronda Rousey was putting a hurting on her, and I know Alexa Bliss, you know, did, you know, her finishing moves, especially the one off the top rope. I forgot what she called it. That splash off the top rope, you know, but I just felt that there could have been more. I know she was hit with the Money in the Bank briefcase, but I just felt they were just missing a little something. I don't know, maybe a little chair shots without the referee looking, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I see what you're saying. You know, because Nia wasn't that injured when Alexa came in the first place. But, yeah, I mean, she probably should have been maybe knocked out by Rousey, and then you have Alexa come in the ring and then get the pin, I guess.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I think she still should have hit the finishers. The finishers were definitely needed because Nia Jax is a monster. You know, you're not going to, you know, you can't really defeat her that easily. I just felt she was defeated a little bit more easier than she should be.
Yeah.
But you know, congratulations to her. Moving on, what was I going to say? So as a result, Alexa Bliss defeated Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Ember Moon, Natalya, Naomi, and Lana. And the bar match of the match, the boring match of the night was Roman Reigns defeating Jinder Mahal, which we all knew that was going to happen. But thank God that feud is over.
Oh, yeah. Finally.
Then you had Carmella defeating Asuka, which, you know, I how I felt about it from last week. I felt Asuka should have went over, but, you know, of course, you know, James Ellsworth made his return, as I hinted, I heard the rumors of that possibly happening. So yeah, James Ellsworth dressed up as Asuka. You know how she wears the mask and, you know, she wears her outfit. So basically Asuka was distracted as if she saw a ghost, like if she saw Sister Abigail wearing her wardrobe, and she got distracted by James Ellsworth and, you know, ultimately lost, which this doesn't do anything for Asuka. Asuka's mystique, it's completely gone.
Yeah, I mean, you have her lose consecutively at top pay-per-views. I mean, that mystique has pretty much disappeared.
Yep. And then
it's like she's getting buried now.
It is. Exactly. That's exactly what it looks like is happening. And then for me, the match of the night was AJ Styles versus Nakamura, the last man standing match for the WWE title. Now, this is the match we should have got at WrestleMania and subsequently afterwards. This was the payoff of their feud. Like, that was an awesome bout, man. Like, they really took it to each other. Like, you know, like, there was, like, a chair shot that AJ Styles gave Nakamura that looked like, from the angle, looked like he gave him a chair shot to the head, which, obviously, it's banned by WWE for obvious reasons. History of concussions and, you know, unfortunately, a lot of wrestlers dying, which, you know, now reminds me, Vader, you know, passed away, you know, a few days ago. So, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace, Big Van Vader.
Yeah, man. He was one of the most athletic big men ever in the history, along with, you know, Bam Bam Bigelow, you know, Yokozuna, big guys who could really, like, who could move like light heavyweights. So that guy, you know, he's definitely going to be missed. He was battling, I think, cancer for the past couple of years. But I think he died of a heart attack, if I remember serving right. But I'm gonna double check to see, you know, how he died, so I can make sure I get the right information. But you know, it's very sad that he passed away. You know, obviously he's a former WCW champion. I think he won twice. You know, of course he had epic feuds with Shawn Michaels, you know, in WWE. And you know, as a Boys Meet World fan, you know, he made that epic episode appearance as I think Johnny's no, is it Frankie? The big bully.
Yeah, Frankie's dad.
Yeah, Frankie, that's his name. Frankie's dad. You know, at where he had where Corey and I think Sean, they had to decide whether or not they were gonna go to Topanga's 16th birthday, or go to the wrestling event. And of course, Corey infamously, you know, he played double duty. He ran to, you know, one and the other, you know, to both events, you know, bouncing back and forth, you know. But definitely an episode, you know, any, you know, you guys should check out, whether
he apparently died of a complication from pneumonia. So he had heart surgery in March, so he had a heart issue, and he suffered complications from that, so he passed away.
Yeah,
from that.
I see that. Yeah, rest in peace.
Mhm.
And what was I gonna say? Oh, back to the Nakamura match. You know, it was an epic bout. You know, he had the styles clash off the you know, the ring steps, and he finished it off with the phenomenal forearm off the top rope through the table to knock out Nakamura for the victory. So, you know, it was a phenomenal, no pun intended, phenomenal way to, you know, end their feud, which, you know, got, you know, soured quickly after WrestleMania, after a heel, you know, with the constant low blows. But it's great to see that, you know, the feud is over, and hopefully in a year or two when they hopefully they'll revive the feud and it'll be fresh and amazing. We'll have matches like this.
Yeah, but same result. You know, AJ Styles keeps winning and beating Shinsuke. So at this point, it doesn't look like Shinsuke will ever win the title.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I totally agree. Him and Asuka are in the same boat. And I don't know if it's because they're both Japanese or whatnot, or I don't know. But WWE, you know, Vince hasn't put in a title on a, you know, Asian heavyweight champion since Yokozuna. And as you know, Yokozuna is really Samoan, you know, in real life.
Yep.
But, you know, we'll see what happens. But lastly, but not least, Braun Strowman, no surprise there, defeated Finn Balor, The Miz, Rusev, Kevin Owens, Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe, and Kofi Kingston, the only member of New Day. And, you know, there's no surprise there, you know, Braun Strowman won. But for me, man, I he's a deserving winner. You know, he should be the number one contender for, you know, the title. But I just feel as a super heavyweight, he could easily get another opportunity. I don't think, you know, Braun Strowman should have won the Money in the Bank. I mean, unless if he was a heel, you know, I think it would be extremely scary having a guy like that on your trail, you know, that any second a heel like that can just demolish you. It'd be like having the hardcore title. You'd be looking over your shoulder, you know, because with a monster like Braun Strowman, he can literally take the title off your hands anytime he wants. You know what I mean? So I just felt it would have been more scarier and more epic if Braun Strowman was a heel. But, you know, it's a well-deserved title, you know, to give to him. You know, I would have gave it to somebody who was like a heel, or, you know, pit their dudes a little bit more, like Samoa Joe, or even a heel Bobby Roode, or who was the other person I was thinking of? Or even Rusev, you know, since Rusev is getting over. But fortunately, SmackDown redeemed themselves, and it's officially Rusev Day, because Rusev came out on top of the gauntlet, the five-man gauntlet battle. You know, Daniel Bryan defeated Big E, and then afterwards, the Bludgeon Brothers attacked their former Wyatt family brother, Daniel Bryan, which opened the doors for The Miz to reignite their feud, pinned Daniel Bryan, which was, you know, poetic justice, you know, even though I am a Daniel Bryan fan, but it was just beautifully done. And then afterwards, the Miz got defeated by Rusev in an epic match. You know, Miz was, you know, hitting his trying to hit the skull crushing finale, but Rusev was too strong, you know, and Rusev finished it off with a Machka kick into the accolade for the win. So, you know, hopefully Rusev will finally get his title shot opportunity and win it against AJ Styles. You know, I like AJ Styles too, but just like when Dean Ambrose had the title match against AJ Styles a few years ago, you know, I was rooting for AJ Styles to win it, because, you know, I always love to see, you know, guys who've paid their dues, who are over with the fans, get that title opportunity, because they're literally once in a lifetime, unless if you're John Cena or Randy Orton or Triple H, you know, the title doesn't come by that often. So hopefully Rusev will get that opportunity.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, he's a big fan favorite right now, and this is the best time to put the title on him.
Absolutely. And, you know, congratulations to, you know, the Rangers with their ninth pick. I'm trying to remember who they drafted.
Yeah, they drafted some guy named Vitaly Krastov from Russia. He's Russian descent. I don't know much about him, but, you know, he's a right wing player.
Well, hopefully he'll he'll produce wonderful things in at the Garden. So congratulations to him.
Yeah.
But move on to baseball quickly. Man, the Mets are horrible, man. They lost again 8-2, two straight games, giving up a grand slam this time to Matt Kemp. And basically, Kershaw, he only went four innings, and he didn't pitch any rehab starts, and they just felt like the Mets was a rehab thing. So they basically threw him into this game today, and, you know, had he pitched a few more innings, he would have beaten us, because, you know, the Mets don't give him any run support. They make errors, and, you know, Jacob deGrom, he lost the game. So he's 4-3 now, and it just stinks. But, you know, thanks, Mac, for coming on the show. I want to thank you all for listening to another episode of Sports 7 Legend, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace. Mm-hmm.